This is Laika, and this is the None of the Above show, a show for everything non-mainstream. I have set up a Twitter just for the show, for announcements. You can follow it. None of Aboves is the handle. That's NoneOfAboves. And I've also set up a safe-for-work-ish account that you can follow for me if you like the stuff I talk about and don't want to see my nudes, and that is T.S. Laika, T-S-L-Y-C-H-A. Today on the show, I have two awesome guests. First one we had last week, Cammy, say hello.
Hello, how are we doing today?
And then I also have Salacious Shanna, who flew in from Texas to chill with me this weekend. Say hi, Shanna.
Hello.
So, we have a couple things that we're going to get to chat about today. Really exciting. So this is maybe second time I have done some hardcore on content share. So that happened this weekend. Yep, that was partly the reason Shanna flew out. So we shot some hardcore porn, and that is super exciting. That will be coming out when I get around to editing it. But in all honesty, like, I still have things from June that I shot with Tiramisu and The Real Nixon that are still in editing. But I do want to get the hardcore out, because I've been really wanting to have more hardcore on my store. Right now all I have is, like, trans on male and male on trans. So I'm excited because it's trans on trans and it's really fucking hot. So yeah.
Come again?
Yeah, exactly. And I was able to pull off two pop shots, which is pretty damn awesome. So that was fun. So, Shanna, how do you feel? How's your butt doing this morning?
No, it's fine.
It's fine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my butt's doing okay, too. So.
My butt's doing phenomenal. I don't have any issues this morning.
Well, nothing went up your butt last night.
Exactly.
Right.
I got to watch the show from behind the camera.
Yes, you did. And we have a little bit of bloopers that and behind the scenes stuff that we'll probably put together in a little separate reel. So that'll be fun.
I'm a dork and I like filming dorky stuff behind the scenes.
Right. I think I'm super happy with like the premise that we came up with for this. Because it gave me a chance to be kind of nerdy and dorky and then fuck on camera, which, like, what could be better than that? You know, and talk about, like, silly engineering kind of stuff a little bit, and, yeah, there's, the stuff that's on my desk in the film is stuff that I have actually used quite a bit, for doing engineering type stuff. So yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. I don't know, I'm super excited about it. So we thought today on the show we would chat about the joys of online dating when you're trans. And for those of you who are not avid followers of trans activists on Twitter, there's been a really interesting dialogue lately, and it has spurred a lot of hate-type responses. A lot of people who are trans have kind of advocated the position that if someone is trans, their genitals shouldn't really matter, and, you know, if you like girls and someone is a woman who happens to be trans, that really shouldn't be an issue for most people in the dating scene. And a lot of people have taken huge offense to this. And I've noticed kind of an uptick in the amount of hateful messages I've gotten on dating apps, like, after this happened. So what's kind of interesting is if you look at that position, like, I'm of the standpoint that I don't think genitals should really matter that much, but I consider myself pansexual. Some people have some very strong preferences. Some people, I think, have some preferences mixed with some biases that they may or may not realize they have. But, like, for example, there's been some discussion. Zinnia Jones, that I had on the show before, got in under the attack of some trolls because she was suggesting that, you know, someone on HRT, everything gets soft and feminine, including their penis. And some people were like, female penis? No such thing. Which, personally, I beg to differ. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But a lot of people got really upset with that, and she took a lot of shit for it. And I think there's still a lot of hatred towards that kind of idea. And I've seen a lot of weird things coming at me in dating apps. And we were kind of talking about this before we started broadcasting, which, full disclosure, this is an almost live broadcast today. The studio actually is not doing the live show tonight at the 7 o'clock slot, so we are pre-recording this. But in the spirit of live radio, I am refusing to edit it, no matter how many times I say or say awkward things. So, it's an almost live broadcast. Nobody can call in and chat with us, though, which is kind of disappointing. But we should be back to our live broadcast next week.
So are we going to read one of your messages?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have, so there's this dating app, MeetMe, that some people have suggested is very trans unfriendly.
Yeah.
Which, I've never had any issues from staff with MeetMe. I've had very little interaction with staff from MeetMe up until recently. And even still, it was minimal interaction. So I can't really attest to whether they're trans unfriendly or not.
So, for us trans individuals, we are given, we're not given, we kind of just work with what we got. Grindr has trans tribes that we can use.
Right.
You know, you will find trans people on Grindr. Also, there's another app called, literally, Trans App. It's specifically for trans individuals. So other than that, we have normal dating apps that we try to use. Not many of these apps have anything for transgender. Like, we can't select trans on some of these apps. So we have to select our assigned genders. So a lot of people feel deceived by, you know, us being trans, especially passing very well. But MeetMe in particular is one of the apps that you are allowed to have discussions. You're in LGBT sections, rant and raves. It's almost like a Facebook. You can say what you want unfiltered, and a lot of people
yeah.
say a lot of anti-trans
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, they do.
Any trans person that would post a picture with, hey, I'm trans, would get a slew of, you're a guy in a dress, you know, all these really derogatory, oh look, you're really cute for a tranny, you know, a lot of this really, like, hate speech, but your
well,
message...
people don't even realize it's hate speech when it's like, wow, you're cute for a tranny. It's like, well, there goes my gender identity, you bitch.
Yeah. So, your message, again, from...
Yeah, you. And, this is, maybe... I don't know, I've gotten stuff like this not many places, but this was a message I got on MeetMe from someone who is local-ish, name omitted, you know, to protect their privacy, because I try not to be a douchebag to other people, even if they're a douchebag to me, but I literally got, first message was, you disgusting, hideous abomination. That was number one. Number two, your gender, snot, a female, you are a male, know your own identity, you insignificant person. Second message had no punctuation other than a period at the end, and the beginning of the message used the incorrect form of your, and there should have been an apostrophe between the gender and the S, because, you know, it's a possessive particle in English, and then a space before not. However, what they actually wrote was, your gender snot. And then the rest is, a female, you're a male, know your own identity, you insignificant person. But, like, as hateful as those messages are, the second one, I laughed. Because I'm like, gender snot? Ooh, that actually could be a really kinky thing. It's like, can I play with gender snot?
Well, gender snoo.
Gender Stew.
You ever read the books, Snot Stew?
No, I'm not familiar with Snot Stew. I think I should be.
We read it when I was a kid, but it was basically arguing back and forth saying, is not, is two, is not, is two. So it got too fast.
Snot Stew.
Snot Stew.
Nice. Yeah, and it seems like that kind of, you know, M not R2 is that childish mentality is what possesses people to come up with this shit that they throw at us just for being trans. And like, mind you, I am fully out on my profiles, literally on dating apps. The first thing at the top of my profile is pretty much like, hi, I'm trans. So, you know, people could just move on unless they choose to be an asshole, which this person did. And like, I have a hard time even taking him seriously because that line, like, that a trans person is an abomination, you know, or especially an abomination unto God, that is such a played out trope. Like, that meme has lost all its firepower, because you've heard it so much. Like, just the idea that an LGBTQ person is an abomination. And, like, I looked, there was, oh god, no wait, never mind, that was something else. Okay, forgot I said that. I've gotten stuff like that other places, and a lot of times it'll come from people who, like, some of the stuff that they post about is, like, super, traditionally conservative things, very much, like, church-oriented, not saying anything against, you know, going to church in general, but, you know,
but
I
sense of culture that
right
follows.
there's kind of this, I would say in a lot of those groups there's kind of a group mentality that goes against LGBTQ persons, and I see that in a lot of these attacks that come towards trans people. And also, like, reading the end of that message, you insignificant person, I know a lot of people have this idea that, like, oh, trans people just think they're special snowflakes and need special accommodations, and, you know, they're just, they should just get what the rest of us get, which is we don't get to pick what bathroom we go to. And there's a lot of logical fallacies with that kind of statement and that kind of belief, which maybe we can get into in a minute. But just reading the end of that message, you insignificant person, all I can think is, like, you know, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, I spit on your haircut. Which, I don't know how many people know that reference, but just the idea of, like, people trying to be insulting, and it's actually so awkward and stilted or cliched that it fails to be insulting and just makes the person spewing the insult kind of like a mockery, almost. So
aside from that message,
right,
again, on these chat boards, a lot of these people will say trans have a high suicide rate. Now, they're right, trans have a high suicide rate, but I had a guy, I read what he wrote to somebody else, and he said trans have a high suicide rate because they have a mental illness. Gender dysphoria is a mental illness, and it makes for a weak mind. That's not true. Trans have a high suicide rate because society pushes trans away, makes them unwanted, makes jobs difficult. You know, another big reason why a bunch of trans individuals do a lot of sex work and stuff like that, because they feel it's the only thing they can do, because you can't get a decent job. Not only for MTFs, not only women have a hard time in industry just to get good jobs and promotions, but a trans individual, it's tenfold. Also, for people to voice pure hate and blind hate speech, that's a pretty good reason people would kind of hate themselves.
Yeah.
Not only is it hard to find good jobs, but those that have good jobs when they transition tend to lose them.
Absolutely.
And you said earlier about having a weak mind. Definitely, because I have a PhD in neuroscience. People ranged all the way from super intelligent to not so intelligent, just like any other subdivision of people. We cover all ranges, so it's not an issue of weak mind, mental illness. We're just people, like anyone else.
We're normal people. We just want to live our lives, wake up in the morning, probably have some breakfast, go out and hang out all day.
I'm not a very normal person, but I'm okay with that. But that has nothing to do with me being trans.
When we go outside and we're at Walmart or Target, whatever your preference is, and you have to use a restroom, we just want to pee.
Yeah.
We don't want to be harassed. We don't want to harass nobody. The people that get harassed in bathrooms regarding trans people aren't the individuals, it is the trans person.
Yeah, and people have, like, made these sensational cases out of, like, one or two times that someone who was harassing someone, the harasser actually turned out to be trans. And then there's been a couple cases where someone who,
That's rare.
It is excessively rare. And statistically, I would probably hypothesize that trans people are less likely to be the harassers, just because we are very frequently on the receiving end of such harassment. So it's a statistical rarity when that kind of thing happens, and letting trans people in the bathrooms does not increase the prevalence of it at all.
Yeah, but trans get harassed almost anywhere they go. I know, talking to one of the ladies at Trans Talk Orlando, she was basically telling her story, and part of her story was she was at a diner, and the person next to her stood up and started yelling very loudly in the diner, does anyone see this? This is disgusting. I can't eat here with my family. I'm sick to my stomach. And would go to other tables and was telling them, do you see this? And tables were ignoring him, obviously, and basically left without eating, or That's without awesome. Pain, rather. And eating because he was sick to his stomach so bad. And you know what? People literally feel this way about trans. I don't really blame them to a reason, because if there's something there that disgusts you, I don't understand why people would disgust you, but...
disgust reactions aren't something that's generally inherent for us to begin with. It's something that we're learning.
Right.
Right.
That's actually, other than a few... basic, almost instinctive, disgust reactions. Almost all of a human's reactions of disgust are things that they are effectively trained to be disgusted with. Even things that people would think are, like, you know, are not necessarily universal. And something that the way people react so strongly to trans people, especially when it comes to something like dating, where there's also that level of vulnerability that comes with being affectionate with someone or wanting to be affectionate with someone. What you see in that is that people have resorted to, and a number of times been permitted by the courts, to utilize the so-called trans panic defense. And there is only one state, as of right now, in the U.S. where there's a court precedent that defense is illegal, and that's California. In 49 out of 50 of the U.S. states, it basically is still legal to beat up a trans person and say, well, I panicked because they're trans and it disgusted me.
Basically, what that is basically you have a woman that goes home with a guy. The guy finds out the person's trans and feels so disgusted,
and embarrassed.
Embarrassed, right.
Yeah, it's frequently about their own embarrassment.
That they freak out. I actually had a friend that got very viciously raped and called gay boy, in a situation like that, where she went home with him and he found out that she had a penis and was freaking out. And then didn't want anything to do, but then turned around and started to rape her. You also have guys, especially in the dating scene, where they don't want you to meet their friends. They don't want you to meet their family.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to talk about you.
I've dated people like that.
You're the down low, I just want to be DTF. That's it.
DTF on the DL because they don't want people to know that they're involved with a trans person.
Or even remotely gay.
The New York Times actually published an interesting article, and it's a combination of, it's an article about 6 studies, kind of a compendium of them. And it's April 27th, 2012. They published an article, Homophobic, Maybe You're Gay, which I just looked up. I remember looking at this, and there's been, it includes a study that is really fascinating because they measured erectile response to pornographic imagery in groups of males, including males who exhibited homophobic behavior. And typically, the trans panic is part of homophobia or transphobia, which is related to homophobia. But something that they noticed was there's a high correlation between individuals who were socially homophobic or aggressively homophobic and being aroused in response to seeing homosexual pornography. So it is very frequently the case that someone who, you know, gets upset at queer things is actually queer and doesn't want to address it, and it's embarrassment. And it's one of those things that, there's a quote I like by Hermann Hesse. If you hate a person, you hate something in him that is a part of yourself. What isn't part of ourselves doesn't disturb us. From Demian. And that's something that kind of takes a little thought and interpretation, but I believe how it applies here is that frequently people do have unaddressed thoughts about their own potential queerness, and being around someone who's queer, it raises those issues for them, and it causes a reaction of embarrassment. And them wanting to defend themselves often comes out as violent or aggressive towards the person who, you know, they read as queer. So that's something that I noticed a lot of. I've gotten some really weird responses from people in that line. Like, people tweet shit at me on Twitter about how disgusting I am and how, oh, I'm just a confused boy, and, you know, that, like, dude, you're just mentally ill and you need to grow up and get a life. And what's really interesting is, while I have struggled with depression, anxiety, and been hospitalized for those things, in all my experiences, I've learned a great deal about strength of character and strength of mind. And I would like to say that I've reached a point in my life where I am way more stable than I ever was, and it was reaching that point that allowed me to transition. So the fact that I'm displaying, you know, the fact that I'm trans, is not because I'm mentally weak. No, I had to reach a point of strength before I was able to do that. So it's almost laughable when people say shit like that, you know?
Yeah, trans, we tend to have really strong mental fortitudes. Most of the trans people I've met in my life are some of the most down-to-earth, hardened individuals I've ever met. But we're in a society where guys are advertising to date us, and literally in their headline it says, DL Curious.
Yeah. If you go on Grindr, you will see a whole bunch of stuff where people are like, they want to meet a trans person on the DL, and you'll talk to them a little bit. They'll be like, yeah, I have a girlfriend, so I can't host. It's like, is your girlfriend know that you're, like, dating a trans person? They're like, no, I'm just curious. It's like, well, okay, so one, I'm an object of curiosity, and that's kind of
they
a mixed
want
bag.
The experience.
Right. It's something to check off their bucket list. And then, like, which I don't necessarily have a problem with, because if that's someone's
kink. Like, I don't want to kink shame them, but at the same time, I don't just want to be an object if someone wants to date me. Like, I'm a person. I'm more than just someone with boobs and a penis. But then also, like, you know, they're also, like, sneaking around, frequently doing this behind their significant other's back. And the issue I take with that is that I think people need to aspire to be honest in relationships. So, yeah, that's automatically a red flag. It's like, no, I'm just doing this, like, on the DL because my girlfriend. I'm like, okay, yeah. So, obviously, someone that you love can't trust you. So what makes you think I should trust you?
Or even not in relationships. Some guys are just down low because they don't want anyone else knowing that they're doing gay or with trans, because people view any type of social interaction with a trans person as it's automatically going to be sexual. Especially on dating sites, a lot of guys send DTF. My response when I get this is, I am not DTF. You will not get in my pants on the first date. You will not get in my pants probably the fifth date. It's not gonna happen. I don't view sex in that mannerism, so.
Shanna, do you have any thoughts or experience on the joys of interacting with people in the dating world?
Not really.
Not really. So a lot of trans people actually are kind of driven to avoid dating, which I think is really a shame, but it's kind of just where we are as a culture, and that some places it's almost kind of accepted to date a trans person, and in other places it's really not. And what you'll
some places you can get killed.
Oh, absolutely. What you frequently see is that a lot of trans people end up dating trans people. And it's not just because, like, they have so much in common, understand each other so well. It's also that, like, when you're trans, there's not many options for people to date. So a lot of trans people find themselves in, you know, kind of the situation where, like, their dating options are extremely limited.
That's another reason why some trans women do sex work, again. They want to get laid, might as well get paid for it. Guys want to be discreet, might as well get paid for it. This is the views that a lot of trans women have.
Right, and, you know, having interacted with people that do that sort of thing, I completely understand where they're coming from. I, you know, coming into it, sex work from a doing porn angle, I'm more, what I like to explore in doing porn is helping trans people to be more comfortable with their bodies and their sexuality. But if you're looking at it from the other way, like, you know, you're not finding people to date anyway. The people that are approaching you, it's weird. They're not really going to stay with you anyway. I can understand the idea, well, it, just narrow it down to the people willing to pay, and you might as well use it as a source of income. Totally makes sense to me. So, yeah, I can totally see where people come from doing that.
So, aside from dating apps, we did something kind of fun Saturday.
Yeah, we did. Do you want to talk about it? Should I talk about it?
Might as well go ahead and plug. The Woodshed in Orlando.
Yes.
Is a location that what happens?
Oh, lots of things. The Woodshed's one of my favorite places, and I think I mentioned on the show before, that is probably the first place where I was able to, like, be comfortable being fully nude in front of a crowd of people. It's a education-oriented BDSM dungeon that aims to be a place where people are not kink-shamed. It also is a very queer-inclusive space. And that's not just, you know, the LGB, it's also the T. Because a lot of people accommodate LGB and then kind of are weird about the T. No, like, the Woodshed is very much a place where trans people are frequently comfortable
being able to explore, you know, kink. Also, one thing that's great about the Woodshed is that it offers classes and discussion groups and things like that. The staff are pretty awesome. And they're very, like, plugged into the local BDSM community. A lot of the staff are queer and plugged into the queer community as well. We totally went to the Woodshed. Since Shanna's from out of town, she had not been before, and we did some fun stuff there, so that was really cool. I always really love introducing people to new types of play.
I got to watch you put wax on her as she laid on a table. That was fun. I also got you to flog your friend.
That was really entertaining. Getting to beat the shit out of my friend.
Got to watch demonstrations being done around the place. Really interesting.
Yeah, and the Woodshed, their website is thewoodshedorlando.com. They also have a Twitter account, which I can try to bring up real quick. If you go on their website, there's a calendar of events, and it has all the classes. They also have...
Induce Your Bari classes.
Yes, Rope Dojo, which is Sundays and Thursdays, and it's on a donation basis, so if you're kind of broke and, like, you like kink, you're not necessarily able to pay full dungeon admission, but you want to be involved in the kink community. Munches, some of the, like, social gatherings at the Woodshed, and the Shibari class at the Woodshed, because that's on a donation basis, are great things to do. Their Twitter is Woodshed Orlando. So the website is thewoodshedorlando.com, and the Twitter is just at Woodshed Orlando.
But again, there's certain things, example, Grindr, other LGBT type outlets that are really geared towards allowing trans openly and free. Again, you try normal dating apps, example again, Meet Me. Highly anti-trans, very highly. You know, opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got them, but keep it to yourself.
I like licking opinions, though. I mean, assholes.
This is true.
Yeah, that is true. and then if you look at things like some of the trans-oriented dating apps, the downside to those is the crowd that it draws. Like the one Cammy mentioned, I haven't tried, but I've used TS Nearby, and that has a big downside in that it pretty much draws what are called chasers, and I don't want to kink shame anyone if they think trans women are hot. That does it for them. That's cool, but you know, venturing into dating, you have to be able to see trans women as more than just a fetish if you're actually interested in dating one.
But what makes a true chaser is a guy who literally will contact almost any trans, all trans in his area. Yep. Any example, these are the guys that will even contact cross-dressers and view them as trans just so they can get a quick fuck. Chasers will probably try to hook up with about 10 people a month.
You'd say 10.
The average. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, they're very active individuals, especially in the trans community, because it's very similar to the gay community. HIV, it's a very scary epidemic, and, you know, chasers probably are the number one people that would be passing this around.
Yeah, and just because of that, and also because, you know, if you're trans, your dating pool is very limited. We end up fucking a lot of the same people, unfortunately, especially if you're willing to date so-called chasers. Which, you know, if you're trans, if you want to date people, you're going to find yourself lonely a lot of the time, unless you're like, yeah, I'll date a chaser. Not trying to sound too disparaging towards that group of people.
Or you find a sugar daddy, and sugar daddy treats you like a baby.
Yeah, but, you know, for the reasons that there's maybe some elevated risk, especially being on the receiving end of anal sex, as nearly all trans women are.
I didn't have anal sex for the first time with a real dick until 2 months ago.
Oh, wow.
Very new.
Yeah. There's a local therapist, actually, who advocates that trans people get on PrEP. Downside of that is Truvada's about $1,000 a month without insurance, which is really kind of sucky, but,
you know. And the side effects are awful.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm going to start on it, which I think is wise, just because I'm trying to venture into doing more hardcore porn, and it's prudent to be on PrEP if you do that and you're trans.
Yep. I don't have sex enough to probably be on it. The only times I really have sex is probably with people in industry.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm not dating right now. And again, even if I did date again, it's going to be really difficult to get in my pants. I shy away from it.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the opposite end. I'm a little bit of a slut, and I'm okay with that. But most trans people are not sluts. And I kind of have to be careful because, like, I don't want to give a bad name to other trans people. The fact that I am a dirty slut and a perv and those wonderful things. I do have to kind of, like, make sure that I don't go overboard, because I don't want, you know, the trans people in my community to be viewed as, you know, just sluts, which doesn't help the image of, you know, the so-called trap, which results in the trans panic, according to, you know, people who utilize that defense. A trap being a trans person or cross-dresser who is quite passable and you think they're a girl until you get in their pants. Which the problem with that mentality is, one, someone who identifies as female is female. And two, most trans people actually are pretty upfront about disclosing. Not necessarily on the first date, because some people might be kind of weird, but they're usually going to tell you before you're getting physical. I think most trans people actually are more forthcoming with, like, hey, this is kind of my body and this is about me, more so than people who are not trans. Some would argue that we have to be, which is probably where that comes from. But, you know, like, I don't know. Thoughts?
It's actually really funny hearing the word trap, because it really comes from, like, the otaku lifestyle. If you're watching an anime and you see a really cute girl character, and even sounding like a girl, and the next thing you know, oh, it's a boy.
Yeah.
It's a trap. It's a trap became a really hilarious meme. Especially, like, 4chan, like, you would have Trap-chan. Was a person, a username, and, again, they were just a really feminine-looking boy who later transitioned to female, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I can't say I ever really got much into 4chan in its heyday. It just had way too much trolling for me.
But just the otaku culture in general. If you ever go to a convention, you say, that boy right there is a trap. Like, I've been in that scene for probably 12 years, maybe more, and I was a very notorious trap as a male, because people would say, hi, ma'am, how are you? And I'm like,
how's it going?
That is what a trap would be. Also, a trap would be a really passable trans person that obviously has a dick.
Yeah.
That's what people are viewing trans traps as now.
And there are a number of people out there who, they take offense to penises, but they say that they would be willing to consider dating a trans person who has had, SRS, or, GAS, so either sexual reassignment surgery or, gender affirmation surgery. I've heard a few acronyms. I've
gender confirmation surgery.
Right, GCS, I've heard GRS, although since your gender doesn't actually change, GRS is not a good acronym. And SRS is still not so much a good acronym, but like GAS and GCS are good. But at any rate, so bottom surgery, there are a number of people who would consider dating a trans person post-op. The problem with that is, one, the surgery's not perfect. There are a lot of side effects, there are a lot of downsides. It can leave...
Like dilating every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
It can leave a small percentage of people anorgasmic. Now, there are a lot of people who have had fantastic surgeries. Like, people who have had a good surgery, you really cannot tell if you're fucking them.
I know some girls like that.
Yeah. Then there are downsides to the surgeries, though. So, it's something like not all trans people are going to want to get surgeries.
And even, there was actually some of the doctors, even the doctors that first started doing SRS, they stopped doing it and they actually started to refuse to do it. Unfortunately, when it comes to trans individual and SRS, it holds a very high suicide rate, almost 80% or 70 to 80% suicide rate for individuals that get SRS.
Right.
So, that being said, a lot of doctors refuse to do SRS because they don't want to feel like they're going to kill somebody.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that I necessarily, a lot of the places that those statistics come from where there's, like, a high suicide rate or a high regret rate post-SRS, analysis of those studies has suggested that the way that they gather data or the population that they sampled, that it was done very poorly for a study, so that those statistics could be very much exaggerated in terms of representing the actual rate of regret or suicide following SRS. But it is interesting to note that there are a lot of people who aren't happy with surgeries, especially like FTM, because phalloplasty is getting better but still has a ways to go compared to vaginoplasty. So you do see a bunch of that where there are doctors who are advising people to wait and reconsider surgery or outright refusing to do surgeries.
Yeah, you literally are required to go through a multitude of extra therapy even before you get SRS.
Yeah, and for there used to be this idea of the gatekeepers. You know, doctors that you would have to get like 2 board certified psychiatrists to sign off that you have been living full time for a year before you could get SRS. That's not the case anymore, because WPATH, which I'll look up that acronym in a second, but they're an organization that advocates for transgender medicine. They have fought kind of the gatekeeper thing, and they actually have made a lot of headway, and in a number of places, there are plenty of doctors who will do it before having a year of full-time, as it's called. And there are a number of places where laws have been passed that you don't have to live full-time or have SRS to get the gender marker on your ID changed. Like, I'm fortunate enough that I had the gender marker on my ID changed through getting a letter, which in Florida, it still requires you to get a letter from a doctor who's registered with the DEA,
which is really, really weird. You have to go to a doctor who writes narcotic prescriptions in order to get your gender marker changed in Florida and a few other places. Not sure where that comes from, but that's a requirement. It's the World Professional Association for Transgender Health is what WPATH stands for. And they have been advocating for fewer restrictions in their standards of care documents, which you can go check out on their website. And they actually do a lot of work around the world. It is WPATH.org. But there are a number of places now where you don't have to live full-time for a year and have two letters from board-certified psychiatrists. But that doesn't mean that, like, SRS is a light decision at all. So,
I might get one day.
Yeah, see, I don't know that I would. With my luck, it would go very horribly. I don't know.
Well, I don't like using my dick, per se.
Right.
Especially when it comes to guys. Definitely not. I will not top a guy. I don't like guys sucking my dick. I don't like guys even touching it. Girls, I'll top a girl all day, every day. But other than that, like, I've even had sex using a strap-on just because it made me uncomfortable using mine, even on a girl. So, people are weird. When you look in a mirror and you see a female body, a female face, and you're like, oh, hey, cute body. Look down and you see, oh. Like, it creeps yourself out, you know?
Yeah, it totally does. So, yeah. trans dating can be quite a mess.
That's why I don't date.
Because of things like that, and because there's so much, that's misunderstood about being involved with trans people, and because of the people that are hitting us up.
We're creeps.
Yeah, frequently creepy. I have no problem with someone fetishizing something, but just don't be creepy if you're gonna want to, like, legitimately date someone.
Show me your cute dick, baby. Excuse me? What? Was that really a message? Yes.
Right, yeah, and we get these kind of messages all the time. Like, it's insane.
Hundreds.
Uh-huh. Like, you open a dating app and it'll be filled with, you know, the chasers who were like, oh, I want to suck your dick, and, like, I want to lick your balls. And I will sometimes use language like that, but frequently I don't. Frequently I call my phallus my clit. I joke about my testes as poison glands because they cause testosterone poisoning. I will call my scrotal sac my labia. Because, like, those words just, they bother me a lot of the time. And, like, getting hit with people that their opening line as a statement on a dating website is, oh my god, baby, I want to suck your dick and lick your balls. That's like, I don't know. There's not much bigger of a turnoff.
You're not going to touch my dick. Or my balls. Because I'm going to throat punch you.
That's not like happening. Like a guaranteed no access. If that's how you lead when you try to, like, hit
train
someone up.
Train kickboxing? Definitely throw a punch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can fuck someone up if you want to, Cammy.
I can, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm a cute possible chick on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, like, underestimated.
Yeah. So, I kind of want to hit on something else, too. We have a few more minutes. So, I was talking about the woodshed. One thing that is interesting about the woodshed is, with the way the laws are in Orange County, the woodshed has some rules to avoid legal prosecution. And, basically, a number of sex acts are not allowed there. No fucking, sucking, rimming, or ejaculating, although that's more for sanitation's sake. And so it actually creates, because people who frequently get lumped in with the LGBT are people who are asexuals. And I'm really trying to cover more of that kind of thing on this show, too. And I'll get to that soon, if I can. But there's a lot of people out there who, their interest in sex is very limited. Or they may be downright, like, repulsed by sex. And so what's kind of cool is the Woodshed has this environment where, since people aren't having sex there, they're experimenting with kink, they're learning about BDSM, they're doing these cool, sexy things, but there's no fucking. There's a lot of people who go there who identify as asexual. And it's a much more comfortable environment for them to explore different ways of feeling good that aren't sex. Or different ways of experiencing a roller coaster of sensations that aren't sex. And I think that's really cool. Because my chosen hedonistic things are sex and kink, especially since I'm sober. So that's what I like exploring, is sex and kink. And I like to see other people having the opportunities to explore pleasure and sensation and hedonism in ways that don't rely on any one particular thing. Like, I know people who have issues with compulsive sexual behavior, and, you know, an environment where there's no fucking, sucking, that sort of thing, is actually a little bit safer if people are okay with exploring kink, just not with certain regular sex things. So, like, that's something that's cool. And then the fact that there are so many people who identify as asexual who come to the Woodshed. And I know that Cammie has, you know, considered herself asexual. Did you want to talk a little bit about that?
I actually don't consider myself anything, other than pansexual, because I do have sex, you know, it's not like I don't, but there is a tendency, I don't need sex, I can go in a whole year with probably having sex once a month, and that's fine, that's fine by me, I don't have a problem with that, even filming, I didn't have any ejaculation during filming, or even after filming, a lot of the times, in Vegas, or, you know, in Tampa area, didn't need it, you know, didn't really care for it, didn't want it, so a lot of these times when the guys are like, hey, I'm DTF right now, let's go, and I'm like, no, you just turned me off by saying, hey, DTF, let's go, and I'm not about that. Like, if you say, hey, here's a really good restaurant, would you like to come out and, you know, get a bite to eat or get a drink, maybe have a conversation, that will get a person all day, every day. Except me, because I'm...
So that actually brings up the idea of asexual grays. People who don't, like, strictly fall into the concept of asexual, but they're not really big into sex. And there's plenty of people out there, like a really high number, who could be described as asexual gray, although a lot of them don't necessarily pick labels for it. But, you know, it, to people like that, there's really not this biologic imperative to fuck. They don't get that horny urge that a lot of people get.
Gone.
Yeah, and that frequently happens to trans women after being on hormones a while.
Almost 10 years?
Yeah, that's right. You've been on hormones a long time.
For a longer
time. So... it's, for people like that, like, they don't object to sex, but it's just like, you know, cheesecake. Sometimes you're in the mood for cheesecake, other times you're like, eh, it's too sweet for me right now.
Yeah. Well, like, growing up, I've seen a lot of the kids in my neighborhood, they wanted to fuck around like bunnies. To me, I found it, disgusting.
Yeah, I was kind of that way as a teenager, and I turned into more of a slut as I got older, but I was all, like... oh, sex is, you know, dumb when I was a kid, even though I was, like, secretly horny all the time. Which is weird for a kid, but I was a weird kid. And I definitely went through a phase where I was like looking at my peers and being like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be.
Nope, definitely not. Try to be as nonconformist as possible.
Right.
And to think in a society, you being nonconformist is not having sex with everything that has, you know, walks and has something to anything.
Yeah, and I think that that's something. Maybe I'm just a nonconformist because, like, kids, people don't really consider them to be very sexual, and I was a sexual kid. And then as I got a little bit older, like, at the age where, you know, people would be, like, wanting to fuck, I was like, eh, you know what, I think that's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
And then, like, I got older, and at the age where people should be settling down, here I am, being like, okay, now I'm going to be a big slut. Maybe I'm just a nonconformist. Maybe that's what it is.
But, you know, not being drawn to sex as I am, I'm still kinky. I like kink. I like certain kinks. So, like, the woodshed is like, oh my god, you guys do wax here. Like, that's hot as shit. You know?
Yeah.
They were doing needle play. To me, that's hot. Like, I like blood, and I like blood play and stuff like that. And just, like, generally other stuff like that is something I like. Now, I've never been tied up, especially in public, before. Behind
you can
closed
fix
doors,
that.
Different.
Yeah.
Could definitely fix that. but, I don't know, it's just, it's kind of an interesting thing to get into, because in Vegas, when I went to Vegas, I was at a swingers club, and literally walking around butt-ass naked.
Right.
Getting followed by, like, all the chasers in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Another time, we went there, like, 6 nights while we were there. Another time we went, we played strip pool, cool. Which was fun.
Yeah.
I've
done that at a swingers club a few times.
Yeah. But, again, I went to the swingers club 6 times. I did nothing sexual the whole time I was there. Why? Because, like, I'm just not interested.
Right.
So, it happens. Tends to happen. The only people I fucked in Vegas, worth noting, is Kai Bailey, Alicia Ray, and Tiffany Starr, which love Kai Bailey, Tiffany Starr.
Those are all industry people, though, right?
Yes.
So,
yes,
yeah.
Definitely. Very professional. We got filmed with Tiffany Starr, Kai Bailey, and myself. Myself being bottom most of the time. By the really talented Damien Kane. Very talented photographer. So we had a lot of fun.
Cool. And there's some resources out there on the internet for asexuality. There's this Aces on Parade thing, which I've heard about is really cool. There's a blog that mentions it. I have not looked at the blog. Cannot guarantee quality of this resource, but it's theasexualityblog.tumblr.com. And then one website that I do know is kind of cool, I think it's Asexuality Archive, and that is asexualityarchive.com. So those are some resources you can look at. We're about out of time. This was a really fun show. I'm really happy that Shanna came out to chill with me this weekend, and I could have Cammie back on the show. And I will catch you all next week. Not sure what I'll be doing yet, but I will let you know. So see you soon.
Have a great one. Thanks for having me.